The commercial property market has fallen into a lethargic phase, and that's largely due to a consistently sluggish local economy for a number of years now. This is an observation made by FNB, and it's of the view that even if the Reserve Bank was to give the economy some stimulus come Thursday by the announcement of an interest rate cut, it's unlikely that there would be any shift in the needle when it comes to the commercial property sector. Well, to discuss this matter further, I'm joined on the line by John Luce. He's a property sector strategist at FNB Commercial Property Finance. Thanks very much, John, for joining us. So just give us the historical backdrop of your observations in the commercial property sector and its interaction with monetary policy over time, if any.
Well, at different times, there can be different key drivers to a property sector, and it is a strongly credit-driven sector, so you would expect that at times rate cuts would drive strong demand for property, credit-driven property purchases, and vice versa on rate increases. But what we've found in recent times, or we believe we've found, is that interest rates don't seem to matter that much, that the mediocre to weak property market, which is gradually correcting, is more driven or influenced by the weak state of the economy and by weak business confidence as a result of concerns over the policy future of the country and the economic future of the country. I believe that that's the stronger driver, and any minor rate movements at the moment probably don't make much difference. And I explain this by what we've seen from second to third quarter. We had a rate cut in July. And if we look at our broker survey respondents, the FNB broker survey, in the second quarter survey in May, 64% were satisfied with business conditions. That was down on the first quarter, and it continued to deteriorate quite noticeably to 49% being satisfied with business conditions in the third quarter. So a huge increase in those that weren't satisfied. The same happened to business confidence for the country as a whole from second to third quarter, as well as consumer confidence that dipped from second to third quarter. So the rate cuts from the second to third quarter didn't seem to change the deteriorating trend in confidence, the various forms of confidence. And I doubt that the expected rate cut that we expect on Thursday will change this trend either.
What's the data been telling us in terms of property returns in recent years?
Property returns, total property returns, according to MSCI, have been broadly declining, weakening ever since late 2013. If I look at the all property half yearly returns, back in 2013, they peaked for the half year, and the first half of 2013, 9.6% total returns. And this gradually wound its way down to the first half of this year, where it reached 3.8%. So that's a trend also that has gone through rate hiking and then some rate reduction. Various rate moves in both directions, but the broad trend has been a gradual weakening. What's the common denominator here? Since about 2012, economic growth broadly started to weaken.
So we've been advised by the Reserve Bank that the long-term investment trend in the country has been very low. And of course, that's bad news, as it means, you know, that for a number of years, South Africa has had minimal investment levels, which dampens the prospects of actual new investment, which would help contribute to growing the economy and creating jobs and so on. What has this picture meant for the commercial property sector?
Well, obviously, I think of the country as a whole, we'd love to have strong economic growth and strong fixed investment. But part of the fixed investment picture is a residential building, and part of it's non-residential building. And it's crucial from a market balance point of view that we don't overbuild. So the key economic growth drivers are driven by a lot of other things, export-driven growth, tourism growth, mining growth, manufacturing growth, etc. The property sector, I would say, is a facilitator of growth. It's not something that, you know, you can't just build masses of property and expect to see economic growth. What you'll probably just have then is an oversupply in property.
Yes.
It's important that the building sector goes at the pace at which the growth in property demand happens. And at the moment, given those other key drivers of growth, such as manufacturing, such as mining, such as export growth, etc., there's not much in the way of growth in demand for new office space or new retail space. and possibly in the near term, even new industrial or industrial and warehouse space. So it's crucial from a market balance point of view, I guess, and that's what the investor would like to see, or the property owner, is that price and values hold. And for that to happen, you'd probably want, for the time being, lower building completions in most of the property sectors. But as soon as the demand picks up, you want the building growth to then go with it. But at that stage, it doesn't look like, at this stage, it doesn't look like happening.
So we've heard from listed companies on this platform about their difficulties in achieving above inflation rental increases, if at all, especially in areas like retail and office spaces, and of course a rise in vacancy rates as well. Can we expect this downward pressure to continue in these sectors until the economy starts turning around?
I think so. We've built a lot of retail space, and we've built a lot of office space too. And now you've got household disposable income growth at very slow levels due to the economy. So the demand for retail, growth in retail is weak. Retail sales is weak. Financial pressures have been mounting on various retailers in recent years. The profitability of the sector has declined. So they're under pressure, and that filters through to demand for new retail space, weakens that. Vacancy rates for retail as a whole, and office space for that matter, have been rising. Of course, it's not only then about the weak consumer or the weak economy that drives office demand. It's also about technological change, more going online. So we're moving into an era where we can be more efficient with the use of space,
yes.
Be it retail space, be it office space, be it even possibly industrial space of various types. So, and that's what technology brings. That's a good thing from an efficiency point of view, but it may mean that in future we've got inappropriate amounts of that space.
Tied in with property companies not being able to secure significantly higher revenues is the fact that the poor economy is having a knock-on effect on everyone. So what are your observations around so-called tenant financial stress levels?
Mild deterioration. If one looks at TPN's estimates of commercial tenants in good standing, back in the last quarter of 2016, 83.1% were in good standing. That's gone down a few percentage points to 79.9% by the second quarter of 2019. So it's been what I call a slow puncture. It's gradual, and 79.9% is not yet a bad figure. It can get far worse should the economy carry on stagnating. Not a bad figure near to 80, but it has been gradually weakening, and one would hope that, you know, the economy wouldn't take too long to turn around, because otherwise this could get significantly worse.
So given the dynamics that we've spoken about, what's the outlook for commercial property in 2020?
I think real value declines to continue, capital depreciation in real terms. I think that's almost I'd call it a necessary evil, but in our projected GDP growth rate goes from 0.3% this year to 0.7% next year, so slightly better. But 0.7%, I don't believe, is nearly enough to increase the demand for the various forms of commercial property to a level where you start causing vacancy rates to decline. I think it's too early for that. And 0.7 is not a meaningful improvement. So I think capital depreciation in real terms carries on declining, rising vacancy rates, and property income growth remains under pressure. And, of course, maybe a little further deterioration in tenant financial stress. I think the point to also make is that property, especially retail property, is relatively expensive by historic standards. And it's sort of more in line with those 5% growth, economic growth fundamentals of pre-2008. And I think it's in the real values in property in general, especially, as I say, retail, are inappropriately high for an economy that's now growing nearer to 0%.
And that's why I guess we're seeing that when there are renewals of tenancy agreements, property companies are having to basically get below inflation, if at all.
Yes, and I think what is rough on property owners is, and on tenants alike, I mean, they shoulder the burden, the tenants ultimately shoulder the burden, is that you can't reduce key operating cost items notably municipal charges, municipal tariffs, electricity and other utilities tariff increases. Those keep going up at above inflation rates. And electricity and the various municipal rates and tariffs are a big part of operating costs, and they're not being reduced. So it is a tough problem for tenants and landlords alike.
That was John Luce. He's a property sector strategist at FNB Commercial Property Finance.